And if this is all correct, at what point then in this evolution would this occur? 10 years from now? 20 years from now? Where the debate begins.
Right. Well, the debate is starting already. And personally, one of my life goals is to try to get this debate off the ground. You know, it's why I've written the book. It's why I get in the media all the time. Well,
have you taken a stand yet?
Now you're hitting the nail.
I mean, because you are an artificial brain builder.
Right.
So one would assume you are. You're a cosmist.
For 10 years, literally for 10 years or so, I sat on the fence. I felt, and still do in many ways, feel terribly ambivalent about this. I haven't got into it yet, but there are a whole bunch of arguments in favor, you know, supporting the cosmist view, and there are a whole bunch of other also equally very powerful arguments in favor of supporting the Terran, you know, the people who are opposed to the idea.
And I guess what you mean, too, by being opposed is we would level off artificial intelligence at a certain point.
Yes.
And we wouldn't go any further.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the aim. I mean, I see AI, artificial intelligence, as being extremely useful. I mean, imagine a machines that were sufficiently intelligent to be incredibly useful, like, you know, household cleaning robots, sex robots, babysitting robots, teacher robots.
I see the day in medicine, and it's probably not too far away, Hugo, where a nano artificial intelligent machine will go in there and clean out your arteries in your heart, and I mean, you'd have the body of a 20-year-old, you know, and they'd come back out again, and, you know, they did their job. I mean, I see that happening, don't you?
Oh, sure. But that kind of thing for me is sort of the short to middle term. I'm trying to think, you know, beyond what, you know, given what's from the physicist in me, what the physics says is potentially possible, and then try to draw the political, you know, the social consequences of that longer term. So, you know, things you're saying, definitely, and they are really good things.
Yes.
I guess. If, you know, if we create immortality, which I see coming in, 10 to 20 years, given the fabulous discoveries that have been made already, individual mortal cells have been made immortal, and now the techno guys doing this kind of stuff are trying to figure out how could you do that for all the cells in a body, right? How can you make the whole body immortal by immortalizing every cell in the body?
Well, why couldn't they do it though when I was 35? Unfortunately, yeah. They're going to do it when I'm probably 75.
I guess we're similar. What are you, 50s? You're in your 50s?
Yeah, I'm 54.
Yeah, okay, well, we're pretty well similar.
How old are you?
I'll be 58 this year. I'm 57.
You're older.
So we're both boomers, right?
Yeah.
So we're feeling our age.
Yes, we are sometimes.
So anyway, So in the, you asked me the time frame. This is hard to judge.
Well, you said the debate is underway.
The debate is underway.
You're on the fence.
Right.
You were on the fence.
I were on the fence. Yeah, I was on the fence. And my friends would complain, say, Hugo, you're being a hypocrite. You're expecting humanity to choose. I mean, it's a binary decision, right? We build them or we don't build them.
Right.
So, you know, it's one way or the other. Humanity, sooner or later, will be forced to choose because the march of technology with such tremendous momentum will be there forcing the issue this century.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. At what point are we where we have to really be concerned about that? You know, where do we take artificial intelligence to the end before it becomes the problem? How many years out? You know,
the pattern would be clear in 10 to 20. I see the main bottleneck in producing true artificial intelligence is the human knowledge of the brain. I see that being the most difficult stumbling block.
Right.
Today, frankly, I've got a whole room. I call it the brain room because it's just full of books on the brain. You know, neuroanatomy, neurophysiology, neural networks, brain theory to the extent that exists, and so on and so on. And, you know, reading all those books, I get frustrated because they don't really tell me what intelligence is. That you don't have a really global idea of what the brain is doing. You know, what is a thought? How is a decision made? What's memory? What's consciousness?
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
What's intuitiveness? That stuff.
Yeah, it's still largely a mystery, which is very frustrating. And so the brain builders like myself, being honest, we're working in the dark. We don't really know what to do. So we just pursue our engineering type ideas, and sometimes they work a little, but most of the time they don't work too well. So we are hungry for ideas, for principles, for guidelines, for signposts that we hope will come out of the neurosciences. So I'm predicting neuroscience will need powerful new tools that don't exist yet before the mysteries of how the brain functions are solved.
But they will probably find it.
Oh, yeah. And I think the key word is nanotech. I think, you know, with these molecular scale machines, you could put a zillion of them into your bloodstream, and they flow all over your brain.
I mean, this is what I think will happen, and you're the expert here in the technology part of it, but let's say I want to learn a foreign language. You'll have some kind of chip in your brain. You go and you download the foreign language from a computer. It takes 20 seconds. I think you'll be able to start speaking that language immediately. I think that's going to happen.
Sure. Ultimately, it's just circuitry, right?
That's all it is.
If you can download the circuitry and integrate it appropriately, and of course that's a major challenge. We haven't a clue how to do that yet. But you know, since it's ultimately just circuitry, if it's known how to do it, then we could do it.
I hate to be the guy that they experiment on the first few times and it doesn't work, huh? Oh my God!
Right. The first guy to eat an oyster was a very courageous gentleman. Yeah, that kind of thing's coming. So once nanotech gives neuroscience the tools to figure out how the brain works, then I think this whole scenario will move ahead, accelerate rapidly. And so we'll probably have full-blown nanotech and molecular-scale engineering within, 15, 20 years.
Very close now, then.
Within our lifetimes, even ours, the old guys, right? But the students that I teach, I tell them, look, you guys won't even be middle-aged before this brain revolution will be with us.
Yet in the meantime, we'll still get this doubling, right? This doubling effect?
Yeah. That'll go on for at least another 15 years. And then you come to a screaming halt, maybe, and it's debatable,
mm-hmm.
Once you get down to the size of the atom...
There's going to be a wall there.
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah.
The nucleus?
Yeah.
The nucleus, if you make an analogy, the size of a nucleus compared to an atom is, there's a famous phrase about this, is equivalent to the size of a fly in a cathedral. So the size of the nucleus is huge.
Yeah.
It's like 100,000 times smaller than the atom. And so to manipulate at that scale, you'd need energies so huge, it's probably not going to be practical for quite a while. And you would then have to move from nanotech to femtotech. That's a million times smaller than nanotech. And humanity, technology hasn't even started thinking about that, about femtotech. So there'll be a sort of brick wall that will hit around 2020 because of the atom. How do you get smaller than an atom?
Mm-hmm. Well, had you said 2012, then my ears would have really perked up. That's the Mayan calendar ending, and we've all thought of something very strange happening around that period of time.
Okay. Well, and this is what the nano guys are saying. Around 2020 or so, ballpark, then we'll have full-blown nanotech. The neuroscience guys will use these tools to figure out how the brain works. So the next decade, you'll see an absolute revolution in the 2020s, during that decade or so, of how the brain works. Immediately, new principles are discovered by the neuroscience guys. They'll be picked up by the neuroengineering guys and put into artificial brains, speed it up a million times, and so on and so forth. And then, I believe, like the next stage, you'll see massive industries, the future Microsofts and Intel.
Oh, huge.
Huge. I mean, our big ticket items today, what do we spend our money on in the rich countries? A house, cars,
yeah.
Insurance.
Appliances, maybe.
Yeah.
TVs.
Right. So, in the 2020s, when these robots start getting really smart because they'll be based on brain, biological brain-based principles, and they'll be imitating how the brain functions more and more closely, and hence getting smarter and smarter. And for all we know, conscious even, perhaps, artificial consciousness, that I see that coming.